AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is actually 4 o'clock, not 5 o'clock. Just want to give you the heads up on that. The Matt McNeil Show. Hello, because I can tell you right now, some people are like, what? No, you didn't sleep through an hour of the day. That's the 5 o'clock. good to be with you. Matt McNeil here on a Friday. Feeling pretty good it's the end of the week. I got to tell you the truth. I was kind of glad after last night that after yesterday, and then of course all the remembrance of the god awful nature of what exactly happened out there, that nothing bad did happen. I mean, as a matter of fact, I posted this up online this morning. If you did not see this, it's just comical. They had a candlelight vigil at the prison for the 1-6 traitors who are locked up, many of them who are fighting their crimes, but because they can't go on a trip to Jamaica, they got to stay in jail because they violated the capital. They basically had a candlelight vigil. Do you know how many people showed up for that? 15 total people. Now, this is in Washington, D.C., so there are Republicans there. It's right next to Virginia. There's a lot of Republicans there. It's near West Virginia. There's a lot of Republicans there. And they got 15 total people. 15. Meanwhile, at ice-freaking-cold rallies here in Minneapolis, and St. Paul, actually, and then over in Duluth, they had 150 in Minneapolis, and 100 people showed up in Duluth. Nice job, Duluth. For those. Reminder of this is that as these Republicans pander to this extremist fringe, it really is only a small minority of the population. It is just a tiny group. Now, it doesn't mean it's not dangerous. My God, there have been plenty of overthrown governments where a small faction of an idealism basically takes over a country. But, you know, we have to stop. The media can't stop slowing down for the car crashes, a.k.a. Republican politics. So they constantly give it airtime. And the reality is last night shows you what the truth is. 15 people there and when everybody is outraged, everybody's mad. 15 total people. Meanwhile, it was minus 12 yesterday in St. Paul. They had 150 out there talking for, peace in our time. My goodness, what a concept there. Dan, how are you today, my friend?
Fine.
All right.
Good to be here.
You are an actor of sorts.
Yes. Yeah,
you've done acting here. Mm-hmm. Sidney Poitier. A loss. He was, what was it, 94? Yeah, 94 years old. Mm-hmm. So a good run. Do you have any, first of all, are you a fan of his work?
Oh, yes. I liked... Raised in the Sun, in particular, was my favorite. But then, of course, now that I'm a teacher, I really love To Sir With Love. That's great.
He had a run of movies, mm-hmm, in the late 50s and early into the 60s, which are, Guess Who's Coming to Dinner? Lilies of the Field. And that's, if I'm not mistaken, isn't that the one he got the Oscar for?
He
got that was the first African American actor to win an Oscar. Mm-hmm. Was for that one. In the Heat of the Night, mm-hmm, a great film as well. If I may suggest to you, there are what I consider three absolute top-notch great movies that he did and he was part of late in his career, which, don't get me wrong, I think if your kids haven't, been introduced to Sidney Poitier, you need to go and find all the movies we just mentioned and sit down, because if it's a cold weekend day and your option is to watch the Vikings play, sit down with his classic movies from the late 50s and early into the 60s. You'll have a movie fest of very rarely, matched, period. There's not many actors I think you could put out there that would have pound for pound that many great roles, especially in that short window of time. Think about that. Actually, now that's good. Tom Hanks for a while there was good. He is good now, but he had what? Philadelphia, Forrest Gump, Apollo 13. Mm-hmm. He had ding, 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 a few right in a row with Saving Private Ryan, mm-hmm, I think, kind of rounding that one out. So he had a run like that. And I think, who played George Bailey? George Bailey needs to be fried. From It's a Wonderful Life. Gosh, no, we get past Christmas.
You know, I'm past six.
The
I'm
war
past
on
60,
Christmas.
So.
The war on Christmas has been successful. God, okay, why? I'm sure someone will let us know fairly quickly. Thank you, Internet world. We appreciate appreciate your help on this. He had a run there too on a few movies that was John Wayne was kind of stretched out in his run and most of his movies. I got to tell you the truth, I'm not a big fan of a lot of his movies, but he had some good ones, but they were stretched out. So I don't know if that qualifies. But I'm going to give you, here you go, three Sidney Poitier films, which are just gems that are from later in his career. First of all, 1988, Shoot to Kill. Did you ever see that one?
No.
Him and Tom Berenger. It's a cop buddy movie, but it's not in the traditional sense. There is a guy that Sidney Poitier's character is trying to, he's an FBI agent trying to hunt down this killer. He's gone out into the wilderness, and so he brings on Tom Berenger's character is this outdoorsman, and it's like the guy you want to be with to survive, the Bear Grylls before there was Bear Grylls kind of thing. And so he basically, Sidney Poitier, Tom Berenger hook up, basically go across this wilderness chasing after this guy, and eventually have to go into the city to find him. It's a great buddy team up movie. Shoot to Kill, 1988.
Yeah, there's another late one, Buck and the Preacher.
Which one? When was that one?
Buck and the Preacher was around that time. Maybe I guess I don't remember exactly the date, but it was with Harry Belafonte.
Buck and the Preacher, 1972.
72. Okay, okay, 72. So I guess it wasn't quite late in his career, was it?
It was a little bit earlier. Another one that was really good, 1997, The Jackal. That's with Richard Gere, and they're hunting down the international terrorist, which is Bruce Willis. Very well done. Just a good film, and it's good. But of his late films, there is one that I just adore. Sneakers. Him, Robert Redford, Dan Aykroyd, David Strathairn, Ben Kingsley is in that. River Phoenix is in that. An amazing film. Very well done. And it's basically about a bunch of guys that get hired off to do kind of these espionage for hire jobs, and they've been hired to basically try to track down this computer chip thing. Now it's a little dated as far as technology goes, but as far as a movie goes, it's top notch and it's a lot of fun. And if you've not seen, do you know Sneakers?
I've heard about it. I haven't seen it. No.
It is a very good film. I mean, it's one that I kind of almost wonder, it's like, how did they never do a sequel to that one? Well, I can tell you why, because getting all those guys back together again would not have been easy. And also, I've got to imagine, it wasn't too long after that River Phoenix died. So, I mean, it might have been one of those cases where, they didn't have the heart to do it after that. But, Sneakers, a fantastic film, and a family film. I would say that film was more of a family film. And so you can watch that with the kids. Just a fun little, whodunit, and that's a good film. So there you go. Three for you. Shoot to Kill, The Jackal. The Jackal, by the way, not nearly as much of a kid's film. Just FYI. There's lots of gunfire. Lots of gunfire in that one. And then Sneakers. That's the one you should watch with the kids. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Are you gonna watch the Vikes game at all? Anything like that?
No. When is that?
Okay, I don't know. It's that's more of an ethereal question. When is that? I don't know. It's not going to be good. We're playing all of our starters because injuries are great, I guess. I don't know. I think what it is, frankly, it was interesting. Star Tribune did a poll. Who do they think is responsible for the mess that this season has been? And it was Spielman, it was Kirk Cousins, it was Zimmer. By far, everyone thinks it's Kirk Cousins' problem because of his anti-vax stupidity. Spielman gets the second place, and most people I think are like myself. I think Zimmer just got unfortunately stuck between two incredibly big, large boobs, and basically got stuck there. And so he's tried his best with incompetent and irrational players and management that basically wants to, you know, saddle him with too many things. I think they should get rid of both Cousins and Spielman personally and keep Zimmer. That's me. But I do want, you know, if I can be fair, okay, 3rd and 8, and you're throwing the ball 2 yards. That means your game plan is that the defense is going to blow coverage. Come on, man. No. You got to throw the ball 8 yards. Okay, or 10 yards. 10 yards would be nice. 20 if you got a chance. I mean, do it. My goodness. That being said, they're playing the Bears. It doesn't matter. We're already eliminated. We are in the worst sports town in this country right now. Just there is no hope whatsoever for any of these teams to come out of anything and be good. I mean, Kaprizov, the hockey, our hockey stud, the Russian, he got injured last night. Boston Bruins put a cheap shot in on him. He had a limp off the ice. So there goes that. I guess I'll wait for the Lynx season because they're not going to be playing the Twins anytime soon because they're going to be locked out for a long time to come. I don't think that's going to be changing anytime soon. My son and I were talking about that. The players union wants to get rid of the salary cap. There's no way in the world the owners of 20 of the teams are going to allow the salary cap to go away. No. So 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. I'll tell you what, let's take a break a little bit early. We'll come on back and we'll get into the coronavirus update for today. LA Crew going to join us a little bit later on. She sits down with Brett. We're going to talk to her about what happened exactly on Hastings. Also, of course, your phone calls, 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. Thank you to the about 20 people that said Jimmy Stewart. Thank you. Yes. Appreciated. Yeah. The war on Christmas. It takes its toll. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205 is the phone number. Minnesota coronavirus update, and it gets ugly, and it's getting ugly real fast here. Friday's COVID-19 update from the Minnesota Department of Health includes 7,833 newly reported cases, 33 newly reported deaths, including a person aged 25 to 29 from Crow Wing County. My goodness, am I mistaken? Or is I think 4 times this week, and once again, all the deaths are tragic. I am not going to be like Republicans where you're like, okay, yeah, whatever. No, I'm not going to do that. All the deaths are tragic. That's why we report them here. This is, I mean, 33, I mean, I want to just take today's death total and just remind people that if at any point in our history prior to this, prior to the politicalization of this pandemic, if 33 people would have died that from anything, we would be like, oh my gosh, we need to write regulations, we need to do everything. 33 people die and, you know, the Republican Party in this state goes, yeah, what you gonna do? It was their time to go. Unbelievable. It's just unbelievable. But 33 people tragically died. If I'm not mistaken, though, we've had over the last week 4 or 5 people in the 25 to 29 age group pass away, which is that's different. We haven't had a lot of people in the younger side, you know, pass away. Unfortunately, we haven't. But now, unfortunately, we seem to be having more. The state's COVID-19 death toll now is 10,766. Now, a reminder, today's report includes the data that was reported in the 24-hour period ending at 4 a.m. on Wednesday. Through a backlog of positive tests has elevated today's newly reported case slightly, but this next number is something that's going to, yeah, just, this is, yeah. Minnesota's test positivity rate on the 7-day rolling average is 15.6%. 15.6. Anything over 10 puts Minnesota in the high-risk threshold for community transmission of the coronavirus. That's the highest it's ever been in the state, the entire pandemic. 15.6. How bad will it be after the Vikes game? Because you already know people are going to be like, sure, I'll wear my mask into the game, but I'm in the stands. You're not going to make me wear a mask. Oof. Seriously. You know, I went through over the – well, first of all, I want to say give me a reminder how bad 15.6 is and how quickly this is coming. Thank you very much yesterday to Dr. Eastman, who just stopped on by to talk about his COVID modeling on this, because this seems to be backing up what he was saying, that the what you're seeing with this is a rise which is just astronomical, because when I was on holiday break, when we had the brand new To You shows on, we would have – some days, I think we got down to 8.5, was the lowest test rating. So we were below that 10% threshold for the first time in a while. And just in a week, we have just seen that number just get blasted. And the way things are going right now, I can't see anything that's going to stop it from being much higher by next week. Much higher. Yikes. Through January 6th, the number of people... The other thing I wanted to mention here is, too, is that I remember earlier this fall, fall, winter, I went to one of the Gopher games. We went out to a Gopher game. And we sat in a section at Mariucci where there was no one within... You want to call it a sellout. I got news for you. There was a lot of people dressed as seats. I think there was no one within about six rows of us. So I felt relatively comfortable. I can tell you there were some sections that were pretty packed that no one was wearing a mask in. But that was, pre-Omicron, and people still are kind of selfish and stupid on some of these things. But that was going to be the case. Over the holidays, I went to a variety of different things. I went to the Minneapolis Institute of Art. Magnificent. Easy to, by the way, it's easy to socially distance in that place. That place is huge. And even if there's a room, I was like, I wanted to go look at this. Well, I'll go to this room. Oh, my God. I'll stay in this room for a while because this room is magnificent. Every room in the MIA is fantastic. Walker. The Walker was probably the busiest place I went. Well, I'll correct that in a second. Was probably the second busiest place I went. The entire time it was busy, but once again, it's the Walker. It's once again, very easy to social distance there. And so we were able to do that relatively easy. The Bell Museum, I went out there, the planetarium, it was a little close, but everyone was masked the entire time. And as a matter of fact, the person that led the discussion in the planetarium, as we zipped across the solar system and the galaxy and the universe, and it was basically made the point saying, if I see you pull your mask down, I'm going to ask you to leave. So your mask needs to stay on, period. And so even though we were in there, we were all still masked at the same time. So that was a good sign. As far as the rest of the museum, once again, pretty easy to stay away from too many people there. It wasn't that bad. Conservatory, a little bit crowded, but nothing that bad. I mean, as a matter of fact, outside of one time, there wasn't really a crowd around us. And that time, I think we were all masked. Went to the Minnesota History Museum. That was, once again, fairly sparse. Wasn't a lot of people there. It was easy to stay socially distanced from everyone there. And then where was the last place that we went? We went to the American Swedish Institute. Did the tour of that house over there. And, yeah, we did a tour. And so we were in a tour group, but everyone was masked the entire time. It was a relatively small group. And even though the place was still open, which I think they've actually shut down for a few weeks, if I'm not mistaken, they basically was you were able to social distance easily in that place. So that's not the same thing as going to a Vikes game. Go look at the footage of these Vikes games. I mean, they're packed stands. Go to the Wild games. They're packed stands, and people are not wearing masks. And if there is one person within, say, two rows of you that's got Omicron, good luck. Good luck. The drunk guy over there screaming at the top of their lungs, coughing all over everyone. I was supposed to go work out today. I didn't. I specifically didn't because I'm like, do I really want to go into that? I don't think I do. I don't think I want to do. Through January 6th, the number of people with COVID-19 hospitalized in Minnesota was 1,467. That's down from 1,469, so two less. Reported on January 5th, of those hospitals, 269 people are in intensive care, down from 272, which is three less. And 1,198 are in non-ICU care. That's up from 1,197. So one more there. Once again, continuing that trend we've been noticing, which is there is a decrease in the ICU usage, but a wild increase in the amount of just hospitalizations, which I think is what we're seeing with this Omicron, is that we're seeing a setup here, which is, it's contagious. It's not as deadly. Doesn't mean it can't be deadly. It can. It has killed people. Omicron has killed people. It's not as lethal as Delta was, but still, I mean, and at the very least, let me remind you of unvaccinated people out there. Most vaccinated people, if they're getting Omicron, are able to stay at home, quarantine, generally after a mild illness of a few days, they test free of it, and they're back to work. If you're unvaccinated, you likely will end up in the hospital. And you might not end up on a ventilator, or you might not end up in an ICU, God willing. But you're still going to have a few thousand dollars worth of hospital bills at the end of this. Do you have the money for that? One way you can avoid that is, or potentially avoid that, I'm not saying it's a guarantee, but if you get vaccinated, you got a chance that you're not going to have to go to the hospital at least. Latest hospital capacity data shows there are 20 staffed adult ICU beds available in the entire state. That's up from 19 on January 5th. 12 pediatric ICU beds available, down from 14 on January 5th. As of January 5th, the state reported that 3,771,106 people have received at least one dose of the COVID-19 vaccine. 3,536,755 people have completed the vaccine series. The state has administered 1,790,296 third dose booster shots. I got an email yesterday from someone who asked me the question. It's like, well, how many people per day are getting the shots now? Do you have those numbers? And I actually went back and I just compared the two numbers from yesterday and today. The number of first dose shots is 4,000 higher than it was yesterday. All right, I'll take that. Love to see it higher, but 4,000 is good. The amount of second dose shots was 3,100 more, somewhere around there. So less than the first dose shots, but once again, getting that second shot, good. The third dose booster shots, that was like 16,000 more. So, a lot of people are still trying to get those third dose booster shots and getting those done. It's the other shots we need to get more people involved in there. 1,064,065 is the total number of cases. 1,064,065 is, once again, the total number of cases right now. Please, I'm going to, once again, go through my spiel here. I don't want you sick. I don't want you dead. I don't want you bankrupt. I don't want you having a lifetime of health problems, which is, my goodness, how many times have I read about someone who got sick in June or July of last year? And has been, still having problems. Was sick in February of last year, still having problems. Ugh, it is nasty. Please get vaccinated. And I know you're out there and you say, well, if I do, the liberals win. No, no one wins. You win. You will win. You can look at, if you get vaccinated, you can look at the liberals and say, see, liberals, I'm going to stay alive. But good for you. I don't know what we can do to basically, we can show you the numbers. We can show you the overwhelming amount of people who are unvaccinated in hospitals versus the vaccinated in the hospitals. We can show you the overwhelming amount of deaths of unvaccinated versus the vaccinated. We can show it to you, even though at this point, the unvaccinated are a clear minority of the state. They overwhelm the healthcare systems. I don't know what else we can tell you. I don't want you dead. I don't want you sick. I don't want you bankrupt. And I don't want you sick, having health complications for the rest of your life. I just don't. So please get vaccinated. When it comes to masks, we talked to Dr. Eastman yesterday about this. Get the N95 mask if you can. That's a good one. If you can't get one of those, get the hospital style, the ones that are like a hospital one you'd get, the one they hand out if you go to a medical facility, one of those. And if you can't get one of those, a cloth will do. But the cloth are the ones, they're basically at the point where they don't want to, they're at the point where they don't want to really kind of have you on cloth masks anymore. They really kind of have, said that those aren't nearly as effective, especially with Omicron. Omicron seems to be quite contagious, and the cloth masks don't give you the protection that they should. So, there you go. Upgrade your mask if you can. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205 is the phone number. Let's take a break, Dan, if we can. We'll come on back. I got a little bit more of the Minnesota coronavirus update to get to, as well as a lot of other things to get to as well today. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Steve is in Minneapolis. Steve, welcome to the show. Hello, Steve. There we go. Hit the line. There it is. Hold on, Steve. We'll get you there in a second. There it is. Hey, welcome on in, Steve.
Okay, there we are.
There we are.
Okay. So, real quick, about a year and a half ago, my fine former employer called me up while I was on vacation and said, don't come back. So I started my own handyman business. And just to highlight how this disease can turn your life upside down in a heartbeat, today I was bidding a job, and on the way home, my wife called me and said that because she's a singer, she was supposed to play tonight, her bassist had COVID. And then one of my clients that I was working for said, oh, my son has COVID. Don't come over. So we went in and both got tested immediately. Fortunately, it was all negative on the quick test, but now we can't work.
I'm sorry. First of all, I'm sorry on that, but this is, you know, it's, if you, did you hear the Eastman interview we did yesterday?
Yes, that was
heartbreaking. Discouraging. You know, it's, at least we have the ice cold temperatures to look forward to.
Honestly, his delivery reminds me a little bit of Dr. Hibbert from Simpsons.
Yes, it does. Does it a little bit?
Yes.
I like Dr. Eastman, but I mean, the reality is this Omicron variant. You know, at least and we got to be careful because it can still kill you. It doesn't seem to be overall as deadly as Delta, but it is wildly contagious. And once again, you don't stop the flights. You don't start putting in you know rules in place real quick during a pandemic, and you just sit there and wonder how did this get everywhere so fast, especially when you have a high volume of unvaccinated. I mean, did anyone share with you if they were unvaccinated and they got this, or were they people that are, you know, kind of getting those breakthrough cases?
No, these are breakthrough cases, because, you know, down here it's like you never go into a store where very few people are unmasked. You know, a lot of these people I work for are elderly, and so they're very careful.
Steve, enjoy your long weekend. How about that? Can I say that? I hope you enjoy your long weekend.
Pretty cool.
Hey, did you hear us earlier talk about the Sidney Poitier? Go get sneakers. Go get some of his movies and enjoy them this weekend. If you gotta sit there or stream them on one of the streaming services, if you're going to do that, you're going to be stuck inside. Enjoy some really good top-notch movies.
Yeah, well, I enjoy his tirades more than anything.
Okay. Thanks, Steve. I appreciate the phone call. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. In the heat of the night, he had a few good tirades in that one. Oh, I remember that. Who is the actor that was in that with him? I'll never. I'm not going to ask any more of that, all right? We don't have to have that. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205 is the phone number. All right, so some good news. Let's start off with the effort to increase Minnesota's testing capacity begins today with the opening of a new COVID community testing site. This one is in Anoka, so good news there. The once again, and this has been one of the problems, is that this Omicron has caught a lot of people off guard. So it's, you know, they kind of weren't expecting to have all of a sudden massive rushes. Well, here they are again. Now, once again, we got a new testing site in Anoka. Minnesota Governor Tim Walz announced Thursday the locations of two new Twin Cities COVID testing centers sites as rising demand for tests puts pressure on current resources. Earlier this week, Governor Walz announced their three new community testing locations, Anoka, Cottage Grove, and North Branch, as rising demand for tests puts pressure on current resources. And on Thursday, he revealed the locations of Anoka and Cottage Grove sites, which will open Friday and next Thursday, respectively. The previously announced North Branch location, the former Nike outlet store, will open on Monday. So, and by the way, can I make a point here? It's this, you know, Governor Walz is not playing politics with this stuff. You've seen some of these governors and some of these states play politics with this, where all the testing sites are in Republican areas. Here he is, the Democrat. He's got one going into Anoka, which is, you know, runs red, and going up into North Branch, which runs real red. He doesn't care about what your politics are. He's trying to get you help. And you should remember that when they're out there saying he hates you. No, the people that hate you are the ones that are lying to you about COVID. That's what's happening right now. We'll share the Anoka location is 408 East Main Street, open Friday with the ability to accommodate around 800 people per day. I guarantee you they're going to be over capacity. I mean, 800 people per day, it sounds like a lot, but yeah, that's going to, they're going to run through that pretty quick. The site is open from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. Friday and Saturday. It'll be open Thursday through Mondays beginning next week. Location in Cottage Grove, which will be at Belden Avenue, will open on Thursday. It'll also operate Thursdays through Mondays from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. The site can accommodate around 1,000 people per day. Testing in St. Paul will also ramp up, Wall said. Starting on Friday, the community testing site at Roy Wilkins Auditorium will increase its capacity from 2,000 daily tests to 3,000 daily tests with support from the National Guard. Thank you, National Guard. Demand for testing in the metro area has surged in recent weeks as a return to work and school after the holidays has necessitated tests for many people. Minnesotans deserve access to COVID-19 testing. As we confront the highly contagious Omicron variant, we're working to make sure testing is accessible as possible, Wall said in a statement. 952-946-6205. The hospitals, okay, so we got to talk about this. I understand it's frustrating. It's not like it was in October where, and I just share this, my daughter went off on a school function and been doing an overnight stay on a school function for a few days. And before she left, we had to get a COVID test. Now, in October, if I'd called to get a COVID test, they would say, well, we have appointments at 2 o'clock this afternoon. Done. When we called on Monday, first thing, the earliest one we could get was Wednesday afternoon, which thank goodness, because that was basically the last chance we had before we, you know, we had to get the test in before she had to go on to this event. I get it. It's different than it was. You're going to have to be somewhat patient. You're going to have to be somewhat hopeful. You might have to drive a little bit to get someplace to go get one, but you're there. One thing you should not do is just if you want a COVID test, for God's sakes, don't just go to an emergency room. Hospitals across Minnesota facing near crippling capacity challenges are issuing another urgent plea to the state residents. Do not go to the ER or urgent care center to get a COVID test. Dear God, you selfish idiots, what are you doing? The ER is not for a testing site. The ER is for emergencies. I don't care about the guy bleeding. You need to swab my schnoz. Oh, for God's sakes. We have run out of words to describe what we are undergoing. This crisis does not even come close. Hospitals are literally full, the Minnesota Hospital Association said on Friday. We urgently need the public's help to keep up our emergency departments available for medical emergencies. The association, which represents the state's hospitals and health system, said people who need a COVID test should utilize a state testing site or home testing kit. Going to the ER uses up care resources and staff that are already stretched thin amid an alarming COVID surge. Please help us keep our emergency department capacity and staff available for medical emergencies. Come on, this is a no-brainer, you idiots. I understand you're concerned, but you don't go to the ER. Go to a testing center. Friday's COVID-19 update from the Minnesota Department shows that 1,467 people in the hospital with COVID, 269 in intensive care. Demand for testing has surged in recent weeks as people return to work and school after the end-of-year holiday break. The care capacity throughout the Minnesota is severely limited. ICUs are full, emergency departments are full, medical surgical units are full, hallways are full, and surgeries have been canceled, the Minnesota Hospital Association said. To continue to serve the high volume of patients that need care for strokes and heart attacks and emergency surgeries, motor vehicle accidents, and COVID-19, we need your help now. So once again, I want to make sure you understand. I understand selfishness, and this is really kind of In America today, this is the worst crisis that could happen because this is a crisis that demands compassion, you know, civility, caring for your fellow man. And frankly, this country is a bunch of greedy, selfish jackasses. It really has become that way. And the people are like, I want it now. I want mine now. I don't care. There's someone bleeding over there. I want mine now. And that's kind of where we're at. I mean, this is the explosion of the Karens, for God's sakes. You know, there's just looking at one, a Karen blowing her top because a black man was able to go get food in a buffet line before her because of his, like, you know, Diamond Club status, I guess. And she saw this and she went ballistic. I mean, we are a selfish, selfish country, and pandemics require people to be compassionate, caring, have empathy for each other, not just to be selfish, greedy jerks. And this is in when I look at this story and I look at it, he's like, I'm going to the emergency room for testing. I want to make sure the Minnesota Hospital Association had to say, continue to serve the high volume of patients that need care for strokes and heart attacks, emergency surgeries, motor vehicle accidents, COVID-19. We need you to stop coming to the freaking ER for a COVID test. Seriously. I mean, when did we become so broken? You know, all you guys on the right like to talk about those days. I brought this up yesterday about the days when it was the Mayberry kind of America. The Mayberry kind of America. Where is it gone? Well, in your white fever dream. But still, that being said, I mean, you want to know what's wrong? Well, I don't see Andy and Barney basically pushing people out of the way in an emergency room as they need treatment for strokes and heart attacks and car accidents and saying, I don't care about them. Get me my COVID test now. I was here first. There is where it's gone. Your selfishness, your greed, that is what's killed this country. And we talk about this every damn day. And you guys just don't care. You get vaccinated. Why? Well, partially for you, for sure, but for the betterment of your community. But you don't care. I don't want to. And most of you don't want to because you've been convinced by a charlatan that basically COVID vaccines are the Satan's work. Oh, yes. Guys are all a joke. It's all a joke. You know, whatever happened to Andy and Barney's America from Mayberry? I don't know. Andy and Barney once stormed the U.S. Capitol and wiped their feces all over the things as they stole Nancy Pelosi's pedestal. They wouldn't have done that. They wouldn't be sitting there saying, I don't care about the car crash victim. Give me my COVID test. That's the priority. I don't care. I don't care if there's a pandemic on. I want to go to Chester's and get my beer and watch the game without a mask. Selfishness, greed. My God, what has happened to us? And the thing which is crazy is the people that throw their Bible in your face most of all are the least Christian human beings on the freaking planet today. Absolutely. Ignoring the Gospel of Matthew, ignoring a good portion of the Gospel of Luke. Turning Christianity into a weapon they can use to push their political points of view. Just disturbing. Get off your lazy asses. Stop being selfish little crybabies and go get a damn vaccine, you fools. Please. And stop harassing ERs. My God, doctors and nurses, they're freaking angels. Anyone working in a hospital right now, my God, I love you. You do not hear this enough. You're magnificent. Seriously, you are. If you're a nurse, you're wonderful. If you're a doctor, you're wonderful. If you're any kind of support staff at all within the hospital community, you're wonderful. These are hard, trying, long days. And I see that, and I am very grateful for each and every one of you as you work your asses off to try to save as many of these people as possible, even the ones that don't want to be saved. I see your sacrifice. I see your compassion, your professionalism. You're angels. You're absolute freaking angels. All of you. I love you. And not enough people are telling you that. Don't harass them for a COVID test in the ER. Go to a freaking COVID testing site, please. Hospital administrators' pleas came a day after Essentia Health issued its own similar message to residents, reminding them not to go to an emergency room or urgent care for a COVID test. Please keep our emergency departments and staff available for medical emergencies, Essentia said, adding, if your symptoms are severe and you believe you have a medical emergency, we're here to take care of you. It's the emergency room's not there for your because you don't want to be inconvenienced by having to wait a day. Well, I got tickets to go to Cancun. I didn't think about getting a test before now. I better go to the ER. I will not miss the death of the age of greed and selfishness in this country. I will not miss this. This began in the Reagan 80s, and as it is blossomed into an absolute manure pile today. I will not miss this. I pray for the days we return to the point where we actually cared about each other and cared about our communities and cared about other human beings and weren't complete and total jackasses, right, Jeremy Miller? Yep. Yep, indeed. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. Can I get some nasty bass? AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Thank you very much to Todd Collett, who's sponsoring AM 950 all this week. You can sponsor us, too, if you'd like to do that. 952-946-8885. 952-946-8885. Call the station. Find out how you can do that. Now, Todd lives in Spain. Used to live here in Minnesota, moved out there, loves the station, wants to support us, but can't really make it to the sponsors. So he basically sponsors us like this, and we do appreciate that very much, very greatly. Thank you very much for that. If you'd like more information, like I said, 952-946-8885. Todd's got two bands. Now, we've talked about Just Folk many times. There, I put a link up on the social media pages today. You can find all their songs, their latest song on Bandcamp there. Go check that out. And then as well, you can go find his old original band, Daddy Do. Their entire catalog is up on Bandcamp as well. I put both links up online. Go click on them. And thank you very much to Todd. Now, if there's another way you can help support AM 950, and we're very grateful for everyone that has gotten the calendar, very, very much so. Now, go to am950radio.com, click on the calendar icon, and then here's the deal. If you make a donation, either a one-time or a recurring donation, as a thank you, we will send you a calendar. And it's once again, 2022. It's this year's calendar, believe it or not. Yes. We're not going to send you like one from 1946. No. It's this year's calendar. And the photos in there taken by myself and my mom on December. They were great photos for you. Go check it out by going to am950radio.com. Make that donation, like I said, a one-time or recurring donation, and help support AM 950 Radio. A majority of Hennepin County Board has called for the resignation of Sheriff David Hutchinson following a drunken driving crash near Alexandria, Minnesota last month. Five of the seven county commissioners... five of the seven county commissioners have issued a statement demanding that the first-term sheriff resign his position since he is elected by voters. The board has no authority to remove him. District 3 Commissioner Marion Green, who serves as the county board chair, tweeted Thursday that Hutchinson's actions and subsequent comments have eroded public confidence in his ability to serve and equitably enforce laws. In a statement on Friday, Hutchinson said that he's fully committed to continuing to serve the people of Hennepin County who elected me. I will let the citizens, not politicians, decide my future in November. Hutchinson was elected in 2019, narrowly defeating incumbent Rich Stanek. He's up for re-election in November. The county paid the sheriff $188,775 last year. Hutchinson drank at a Sheriff's Association conference and crashed his county-owned vehicle into a ditch at about 2:30 a.m. on December 8th. He suffered multiple injuries. He's expected to pay back the county for the damages to the vehicle. He is now attending outpatient therapy and took responsibility for the crash, saying he's struggling with alcohol addiction. The sheriff had a blood alcohol concentration of 0.13%, according to a test at the site. The state legal limit is 0.08, but only 0.04 while carrying a firearm, as Hutchinson was at the time of the crash. He was charged with four misdemeanor drunken driving charges, but pleaded guilty to one count of fourth-degree driving under the influence of alcohol, the lowest level of criminal offense available under Minnesota law. And once again, he says he'll remain in office even as the county officials call for him to resign after Hutchinson crashed his vehicle. I will let the citizens, not politicians, decide my future in November. Now, we talked earlier this week about the case of Rebecca Brannon, of her getting the photos, and that there was it Eikens? Eikens, I think, was the name of the police officer who searched the vehicle after the crash and was responsible for taking photos of anything in the vehicle that could have impaired his driving. And we have said there seems to be some question here about these weed gummies that apparently were in the sheriff's vehicle, because Eikens didn't photograph them. He didn't see them. They weren't in there. The strong implication from him is that, no, if I saw something like weed gummies in there, I would have photographed it because that could have inhibited his ability to drive the vehicle. Rebecca Brannon, the photojournalist, was given hints on where she could get access to Hutch's car, and by her own admission, including from police officers, and was able to get in there. And when she opened the vehicle, there were weed gummies there, and she took photos of them. And I've said very clearly then, clearly that kind of points to me that needs to be investigated, because it sounds like someone planted some evidence and then brought a journalist in to try to smear him further than he has. But that all being aside, and I do think that there should be an investigation, especially considering there was a pre-existing relationship between Brandon and one of the alleged candidates running for Hennepin County Sheriff. Now, that all being said, I'm a friend of Hutch. I've known him. I've met him a few times. He is an absolutely, really a nice guy. I have very much enjoyed him being the Hennepin County Sheriff. That being said, it's not very easy for me to say this, but I'm in agreement, Hutch. I just don't think that this is a good idea. I don't think this is a good idea. I think it's a good idea for you to possibly resign your seat. I really do. It was a mistake that you really can't walk that one back. That's all I'm going to say about it. We'll take a break. Come back. Hour two is up next. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Matt, Dan here today. Brett in studio with me. Hi, Brett. How are we, my friend?
Hello, Matt.
All righty. You got him there, Dan? You got it? You're there?
Let's
there
go,
you go
again.
There we go. Hi there.
Little
hello!
In show here. Production meeting. I'm on. It's mic one on there. There we go.
I have no idea what any technology means. That's why you guys don't let me touch anything in this place. Computer's dead. So my bad. I shouldn't have hit enter. I don't know what I did. So I'm going to bring up a story here. But I first have to preface this. Dan, you can chime in on this, too. Do you guys remember erector sets?
Oh, yes. I had one.
Do you know what an erector
is? Oh, yeah. I had one.
I kept trying to make a robot.
Did it work?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I made a Mars rover, too, back in. This was back in 68, I think.
You were the soul crusher of every kid that was like, I've got to make something. And then you go over to your friend's house and it's like, I've got a working space station. And you're like, I made a block. You know, and so you actually knew how the engines and all that stuff worked, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I mean, if you don't know what an erector set is, this isn't back in the day and age, really even before, I mean, Legos were just starting to come on out, but it was Lincoln Logs and erector sets. And erector set was basically like Legos, only it used screws and nuts and bolts, and you put together things in little brackets, and you could build things with it. And of course, the commercial when you were a kid had like the amusement park roller coaster. And you're like, oh yeah, I want to make that. And it's like, all of a sudden it's like, I don't know high end structural, the engineering structural, financing. I don't understand it. And so you basically could never build whatever you saw. Some kids did like Dan in there. Got in there. It's like, I've got a working backhoe. Really? Do you? How'd you do that? I tried to make a triangle, but it's not working.
That's about where I was, too, struggling to build it.
It hurts my head. Oh, then thank God television was there. Oh, TV, you never let me down. I'll watch Gilligan's Island instead of actually trying to find something I can do in my life that's going to make me some money. Anyway, but hey, the Gilligan's Island thing panned out for me, at least. So I want to talk about when you'd build something with that, you would erect something with it. You could build things up. You can make an erection of things. Okay? You see how I'm going with that? You see? Because that's what I'm going to presume Frank Vassalaro made a mistake. Frank Vassalaro made a mistake on Channel 4. It is a brilliant mistake. It is a blooper of all time. Dan, if you could, please. There we go. All right, Dan, we can hear you there. You got to turn off your mic there, buddy. All right, there you go. I'll tell you what.
Actually, I got an idea here, Matt. Let's do another on-air production meeting. Does this thing have a mic jack? Because we couldn't plug it in and play the video from here.
We could?
Yeah.
Oh God, I don't think it. Do we? Let's see.
We'll do some tap dancing right
it's
here.
Got, it's
this
got,
is riveting radio.
There, it's got something there. I just plugged it into a spot.
Yeah.
That's
we could do it on our phones.
Very, very much like a lot of my first dates. This doesn't. I don't think this is going right. It's angry at me now.
And of course, we're doing it during this story.
We're doing it live. Yeah, we're doing it live. That's what we're doing.
Well, see, I blame Apple too. We could easily do this through our phones, but of course, Apple doesn't make headphone jacks anymore on their phones. Otherwise, we could plug it in there and get it to work. But
all right. Dan, do you got it there? He talks about it's not an insurrection he caused. It's an erection he caused. Well, now, first of all, the former president, that's just not something that's possible. I don't think he played with erector sets. I'm pretty sure he didn't do that. So that being said, that's Frank Vassalero. That is a brilliant blooper, my friend, Frankie V. Yes, it's magnificent, and magnificent as magnificent gets. So
you want to try one more time at this? Our mics pick up good audio from our phone.
Oh, sure, you got it.
Yeah,
there?
Let's do it.
We'll just try to play it off our phones here. Let's see.
Of course, it's going to take forever.
Scrolling. Yeah, it's like the computer's really angry with me because I put the plug in the wrong hole. I think. Sign of the times.
Look at our crack technology here really helping us out. Come on. Why won't it display the video? Oh, here we go.
There we go. It's technology, folks. This is, if you're really expecting more from me and this show, come on. It really is. It's not where we are at.
Here we go.
Invisibility remains torn over an attack on the seat of American democracy. 1 year ago, a pro-Trump mob stormed the United States Capitol trying to overturn the results of the presidential election. Rioters battled police and ransacked the building for hours. 5 people died, and Congress later impeached the former president for inciting an erection.
Oh, no, not one of those. Oh, that's... Oh, he incited... Oh. Well, so I'm like I said, erector sets, were always a fun toy for me when I was a kid. So he erected something. Well, no, like I said, I just don't think that's actually physically possible for the former president of the United States to actually incite.
Trump and that word, erection, are not what I want to hear in the same sentence.
Hello. Oh, God. No.
I'm not going to sleep tonight.
Frankie V, why did you do that to us, man? Dude, hey, I've been part of some bloopers in my life, but that one is top notch. So, pardon me while I get back to my erector set. All right. St. Thomas College Republicans. Now, this is the second story in about a year we've talked about the St. Thomas College Republicans, because isn't this the same group of people that one person that was working with Lazaro came from?
Yeah, that it was. I think it's his accomplice, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, exactly. St. Thomas College Republicans tweeted support Thursday for a Holocaust denier and white nationalist after he was kicked off of...
Wait, he got kicked off of Getter?
Yeah.
How do you get kicked off of that thing?
For President Trump's new social media platform, because to be able to be on the app stores or anything like that, you have to have some standards. And so they keep acting we're going to have all these standards. We're not going to have any standards whatsoever. Well, you're not going to be able to be on any app store then, because they have to agree to that, and that's why he got kicked off Getter.
That takes some effort. Wow.
Yeah. The Thursday, the student-run account tweeted some free speech platform with a link to a story about Nicholas Fuentes being repeatedly banned from Getter for seemingly no reason. Oh, no, I guarantee you there's a reason. Fuentes rose to prominence when he left Boston University after he reported being threatened for attending the white supremacist Unite the Right rally at Charlottesville, Virginia on 2017. He began hosting a weekly live stream show called America First and was banned by YouTube in 2020 and has repeatedly tried to get around the ban. Fuentes has been a central figure in the white power movement since 2017, according to the Southern Poverty Law Center, and encouraged his followers to attend Stop the Steal events last year, even raising the specter of killing lawmakers. And the St. Thomas College Republican group has also reposted Fuentes on Gab, a social media network that became the home to far-right extremists and QAnon followers after Trump was banned from Twitter. The St. Thomas Club did not immediately respond to requests for comments. Its Twitter account says it's a student-run account. It doesn't really reflect the positions or view of the University of St. Thomas, but I presume it reflects the opinions and mentality of you, the St. Thomas College Republicans. According to the website, its purpose is to provide space for conservative students to speak freely on campus and form bonds with like-minded students over issues that matter to us. Yikes! Our goal is to promote the principles and the values of the Republican Party. Is that, well, and you know, and that just tells you where the Republican Party is at, doesn't it? It just tells you exactly where they're at. The GOP account has also expressed support for Kyle Rittenhouse, tweeting he did nothing wrong, well, outside of shooting people. Rittenhouse shot three men, killing two and wounding a third during a protest in Kenosha, Wisconsin, a town that Kyle Rittenhouse did not live in. A previous St. Thomas chapter chair of Minnesota College Republicans was arrested last year on federal sex trafficking charges, along with GOP donor Anton Lazaro. She pled not guilty for recruiting underage girls for Lazaro. St. Thomas has got a little bit of a problem over there, don't they?
More than a little problem with their Republicans.
Yeah.
They may want to consider doing something about the group.
Well, it would seem to me, you'd think to yourself, I mean, you had the chair of the Republican College Republicans arrested. You would be trying to find there's two paths you can go after that. One, try to find some way to tone down the aggressiveness and appeal to other people, or two, go extremist far right nutsoid to try to really kind of I don't know. But I mean, if I was someone who was just not a far right extremist and knew that sort of thing was going on in a college campus, I don't know if I wouldn't want my kid going to the college campus. It's kind of sad. I mean, I don't have any doubt that over like the University of Minnesota, there's probably racist and stuff running around over there because it's a big college. I have no doubt, but it's not being fomented by one of the major college groups on campus. It's not, you know, hate that's out so visible in that level. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's a major group. Pretty much every college has probably their own Democrats and Republicans club, or yeah, whatever they call it. College Republicans, College Democrats. And if one of them's espousing some pretty extremist views and inviting Holocaust deniers, that's a little unsettling, to say the least.
Well, it's retweeting, recopying, standing up for, yeah, whatever. And I know you'll probably say, well, I'm for freedom of speech, even if most people don't agree with it. It's like, well, you don't need to fight for that so hard. I like freedom of speech, too. But, and I know that's a double-edged sword, but I'm not going to go on out there and tell you, let me go fight for that group of people, for goodness sakes, so visibly. I mean, it's,
just because you can doesn't mean you should, essentially, with some of them.
St. Thomas's first year at Division I has not gone as well as they thought it was going to, did they? You have got an interview, Ellie Krug, of course, one of our great shows here. We love Ellie. She's fantastic. She has been with, how many years has she been on the air with us now?
2016.
Wow.
That's coming up on 6 years.
Yeah, not like me, the portrait of Dorian Gray over here, but, you know, she's been here for a while. And a beloved member of the AM 950 schedule here. And so she's on the weekends right now, right?
Yeah, and she's got a big show tomorrow. She is going to be interviewing Kelsey Waits, who is the mom of that child from Hastings that was bullied when Kelsey was running for re-election on the school board, rather. Mm-hmm. Bunch of parents weren't happy about her stance on mask mandates, mm-hmm, and eventually they started a Facebook group and outed her 8-year-old child, who is transgender, and then bullied the 8-year-old kid.
Yep, they went out and attacked an 8-year-old child, and it's still, we don't know, because the Facebook group was a bunch of freaking cowards.
Yeah.
If the three new school board members all were members of that group and used that group and the outing and tormenting of an 8-year-old child to get their seats on, wait for it, the school board, where there are 8-year-old children. Wow, they're pieces of human trash if they did. If anyone that was part of that group is pieces of human trash. Anyway, I'll be very interested in hearing Ellie's take on that. That's going to be the interview tomorrow, but you're going to talk to her about that interview right now,
yeah,
right?
Talk to her about that interview and get her thoughts on what's happening in Hastings and how you kind of – I mean, she's a diversity trainer, and you have so many schools and now governments, especially in red states, that are essentially banning diversity training. So what do you do with that?
All right. Well, here it is, Ellie Krug, right here on AM 950. Right here on AM 950.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, Brett Johnson with you here on a Friday afternoon. And as part of our usual interview series, I do have someone lined up for today. That is someone you're very familiar with here at AM 950, Ellie Krug, the host of Ellie 2.0 Radio, which you can hear every Saturday at 10 a.m., as well as replayed on Sundays at 1 p.m., as she had a chance on her most recent show, which you'll be able to hear tomorrow, to speak with Kelsey Waitz. Now, if that name rings a bell for you, we, of course, talked a lot about her and her child on the Matt McNeil Show, but just a quick refresher. So she was a school board member in Hastings, and as she was running for re-election, individuals and administrators of this Facebook group called Concerned Parents of Hastings took aim at Kelsey because they were originally angry about her stance on COVID-related mask requirements in schools, but unfortunately, things took a very dark turn when the group publicly outed Kit, who is the 8-year-old child of Kelsey and her husband Chris, saying on some of the Facebook posts that she should be locked up for child abuse and referring to Kit, who uses the they-them pronouns, as actually a boy. So a very ugly situation that we saw in Hastings. But fortunately, Kelsey is she has a lot of perseverance and very much is an idealist, and Ellie had a chance to speak with her, and you'll be able to hear that again tomorrow on Ellie 2.0 Radio. So, Ellie, thanks so much for joining me here to give a little preview of what you talked about with Kelsey.
Hey, Brett, thanks so very much for having me.
Absolutely. So when you first heard about what happened in Hastings via that CNN piece, what was your reaction?
Horror. You know, I mean, it just... it would be the nightmare of every transgender or non-binary parent to have their child's identity disclosed, because you, of course, don't know what that implicates. That people may, you know, there are a lot of people out there that are intolerant of transgender people, and you worry about your child. So, but beyond that, I had gone to Hastings before. Hastings had had an incident where publicly six churches and a Christian academy issued a public letter decrying transgender people in the community. And so in November of 2019, I went to Hastings and spoke. I gave a Transgender 101 talk. We had 140 people in the audience, and we had a number of people from those religious organizations in the audience. They asked questions. They were respectful. And when it was done, I had a number of them come up to me and say that they were surprised at how kind I was, you know, and how I didn't shame them. I didn't come in and yell at them. And if anybody's been listening to Ellie 2.0, Brett, they know that that's not my approach.
Absolutely.
So I did have Kelsey on the show, and she'll be the big interview tomorrow on Ellie 2.0 Radio. I've just got to tell you, Kelsey Waitz, extraordinary human. Just with what she's gone through, what her family has gone through, she's an idealist. And this seems to have only fueled her idealism even more. So I did do a Zoom. I came back to Hastings on Wednesday of this week. I gave another talk, Bridging Divides. Kelsey was in the audience on that Zoom. Early on, she talked about hope, that notwithstanding, I mean, Brett, you know that what happened, her family had to move away from Hastings. They had to sell their house, go buy a new house. I don't know where she's living. I don't want to know where she, but they had to do all of that. And yet this woman has hope that somehow things will get better. Incredible.
It really is the definition of idealism, and I think you and I share the same view that I don't believe all people are evil or all people are out to hurt one another. I mean, as you say on your show, there's maybe 0.5% of the population that truly are crazy, off-the-rails people. So how do we get to this point where someone or a group of people would actually go and bully an 8-year-old child? Is it a lack of understanding or not knowing people who are classified as other? How do we get to that point?
Well, I think the common denominator always is fear. We're afraid of things that we don't know, okay? The second denominator is group-identified behavior. You know, you have your group. The way that you create cohesion for your group is that you other people that are not part of the group. Okay, that may we feel so good about ourselves and look at how, you know, wrong or bad those, you know, or different or other those people are. Oh, can you believe it? And so I'm positive that that's what happened. But you know what? Kelsey said that when she was on the Zoom on Wednesday in Hastings with me, she said she went through the audience list and there were some of the people that were not tolerant on the list. And they stayed throughout my presentation on Wednesday. And she reached out to some of them afterwards. And for her, that gave her hope because they were willing to come, willing to listen about the need for us to talk to each other. I thought that was pretty extraordinary.
I think so, too. And it's important to realize that having someone at least come and listen that might be intolerant is so important. You're probably not going to change their minds overnight, but at least if you can open up that conversation and plant that seed in their head that, you know,
yep,
these people who you term are other are not out to get you, are not out to change society, are not evil. It's a good way to start to at least have that conversation.
You know, Brett, change comes with small bites, okay? And, you know, and I think the key, though, is not shaming people, not showing up angry, okay? Is opening the door for conversation rather than slamming it in their faces. And this is so incredibly difficult to do because many people, look at me, I mean, transgender people are being attacked. I mean, they are being murdered, you know? And it would be very easy for me to just kind of wipe out a whole group of people and just say, well, you know, you're intolerant of me, you hate me, you know, I'm going to be intolerant back of you. But Brett, that will not get us where we need to go. We need to cross the divide. We do. And the only way we're going to do that is by sitting with each other. Even though it's hard, it's bumpy, it's difficult, but sitting with each other and getting to know each other, becoming familiar.
So as you talked about when you had this Zoom meeting in Hastings, it's not the first time you've gone to a city that's had a problem with people who are other or transgender or part of the LGBT community who have been marginalized. So when you go to a community like Hastings or others that have had issues like this, what's the most important message you try to convey when you give your talks?
Most important message is that I'm really no different than they are. You know, I always begin out those talks by saying I'm no one special. All that I am is simply a survivor of the human condition. It's just because my voice obviously does not match my appearance. My survivorship is very public. But I remind everyone in the audience, they too, all of them, are attempting to survive the human condition. And I think that I don't come in and yell, okay? And when you say, hold on a second, we're all trying to make our way through the world together. We are. No one has the market cornered on either wisdom or on suffering. I think that it's disarming for people. And I think it causes people, not everyone, but many, to sit back and say, okay, I've never heard a transgender person speak before. And what this person I'm hearing right now is saying is, she kind of gets me.
Unfortunately, in many states around the country, not Minnesota at least yet, have enacted bans on diversity training, whether it's in government institutions,
yep,
or especially in schools. And as you're talking about, having someone like you or other people being able to go and speak to groups to show that, to try to bridge that divide, it might not be possible in some senses with some of these bans that have been passed around the country. So how do we get past that to try to continue the work you're doing when, yeah, many states and municipalities are banning diversity training?
So we got to go around the government, okay? Mm-hmm. I mean, almost all of those laws are government-focused or school-focused, okay? But there's no state that's passed a law that says it's illegal to come in and talk about, you know, skin color or talk about diversity or inclusion you know, throughout the state. So we got to go past those. So we you know, bring in the churches, bring in major employers, people who have clout in the community are like, hey, you know, this is important. Bring in, you know, the civic organizations like the hospitals or nonprofits. They all of those can be sponsors for this kind of work. And but the problem is it chills. There's a chill. You have a law, and then there's this chilling effect that goes throughout the state. That's for sure.
So let's talk about your interview that's going to be airing tomorrow. Again, speaking with Ellie Krug, Ellie 2.0 Radio, as she'll be talking with Kelsey Waitz on Ellie 2.0 tomorrow, which you can hear. What can people take away from listening to the interview with Kelsey? Or give us a little preview on what you both talked about. Obviously, without giving away the whole thing, we encourage people to check it out. But what can people expect when they tune in?
Oh, I think that they're going to I think that their hearts are going to be touched. I mean, they're going to hear from somebody who, by all rights, would have the right to be bitter and angry. They're not going to hear that. They're going to hear from somebody who admits to being sad and says that she has her good days and her bad days, okay? But you're going to hear from somebody who has come to believe that she needs to be an activist, even more than what she was before all of this. For example, she was apparently a PhD candidate. She was one semester away from finishing her studies, and of course then she'd have to do her dissertation. She tweeted today that she is going to pause her studies. She's gonna take a break on her PhD so that she can become an activist, be more active. Brett, think about that. What, she's already invested in a PhD program, and she is now going to like, nope, I need to go do things. Pretty powerful.
Especially, as you said, when it would be so easy when when your eight-year-old child is being attacked by a group of people, it would be easy just to be angry and bitter and just retreat and...
I know, but Brett, look at the role modeling she's doing for
us.
Look at that. If she can do that, okay? If she can say, I still have hope for America. If she can say, I am still going to work for us to bridge our divides. Okay? If she can do that, Brett, why can't we all do that?
Absolutely. Well, encourage you to check out Ellie 2.0 Radio tomorrow, as she'll be speaking with Kelsey Waitz. Of course, the story that you heard out of Hastings from that CNN report back in December. So you don't want to miss that. Ellie 2.0 Radio tomorrow, 10 o'clock, or on Sundays, replayed at 1 p.m. Ellie, as always, really good to chat with you. Fun to be in the studio with you. Normally, I'm on the other side of the glass, so good to chat with you this afternoon.
I love talking with you, Brett. You are so great. So thanks.
All right, we'll take a break and come on back and send things to Matt McNeil on AM 950.
The Progressive Voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205 is the phone number. So I think that on the rank of things that people find the hardest about me to believe, well, outside of the fact that I'm married with children, I know. I was fighting out of my weight class. Let's just be honest. Now that but if I was to put down the three things which people have the hardest time to believe about me, number one is I'm a Christian. Very much so. And I take my religion very seriously. We go to church quite a bit. Number two, I'm a veteran. Oh, that a lot of Republicans hate that. They hate the combo platter of the two. And I know my religion pretty well, so you want to dance, we can dance. Number three, because the first thing I'll say is, if you're a Republican, is what happened to the Gospel of Matthew in your Bible? Because you sure don't follow the Gospel of Matthew, and that's the direct teachings of Jesus, and you know, the guy that makes you a Christian. Anyway, just, it would be a hoot. So, Christian one, veteran two, go U.S. Army. And number three, I'm a proud graduate of Edina High School, 1986.
Yes. I don't believe it.
Yeah, no, it is actually. I am a graduate of Edina High School, 1986. I know. They're not, I don't think they're putting my photo up on the wall of fame over there anytime soon. it was fun times. It's a fun, trust me, Edina High School in the Reagan 80s was a delight. Holy God. Just a delight. I'm here for my daily public shaming. Oh, and I did share the story earlier this week that I was in Edina, and I was with a group. We went in a church group, and we went into Uptown, and we were trying to convert people in Uptown. Which, I mean, come on, pick your fight. But at the same time, we were there. I was like, okay, why am I with you guys? I like these people. This is my people here. And it. Once again, proves a lot of things that you can come out of Edina and not necessarily be a guaranteed success. Although I did, I'm the reason, me and my friends are the reason why they have no skateboarding signs down at the Hyatt down on Nicollet Mall. So, win, I guess we can say that. Needless to say, I am a graduate of Edina High School. I'm a Hornet. And I have, of course, over the years, talked about Edina stories. Because, having lived in Edina and graduated Edina, I got a good little perception of Edina. And, of course, nothing, I think, highlights Edina more than the Hornets story. Were they called the Hornets or are they the Hornets? Aha. A question for the ages. Wait a second here. McNeil? I see where you're going with this. Uh-oh. Edina guy, what are you doing here?
Well, I just wanted to say something. I can see that you rapscallion, you're getting ready to go and talk about an Edina story, and you're going to make us look bad again.
No, I don't get that. Not in the... What are you talking about, Edina guy?
Oh, zip it, McNeil. I know what you're up to. ooh, I can smell the pore on you. It's disgusting. Now, you keep your grimy little mouth off of my city.
It's just one little story. It's not going to embarrass you too bad.
Too bad? Too bad? How dare you? If I wasn't wearing my nice loafers, I'd kick you right in the behind. In the behind, I say.
All right, Edina guy, sit tight for a second, Edina guy. You'll see. It's an interesting story, but it's a changing time, in Edina. Now I'm actually going to start with on the story, the Racket story, the online news magazine Racket story, because they do a fairly well-condensed blurb on this that clearly is very different from the Star Tribune story. But I'll go with the Racket one first here, okay? If you want to put in on something, you got to pay the artist, okay? That's the lesson Edina Public Schools is learning for the recent legal skirmish over their Hornet logo. Michael Otto designed the piece, which features a vampire-like hornet.
McNeil?
Okay, I'm reading the story. They're the ones that say vampire-like, and it does look like a vampire.
How dare you? It's a regal noble beast. How dare you demean it with your wretched lips? Ooh, I will get you for this.
Sit back, Edina guy. Let me finish the story here, okay? So it looks like a vampire-like hornet. God, it is funny. Making direct eye contact with you as part of the contest for, in 1981. He won the contest, and that's the logo. I'd be interested in seeing what didn't win, but I want to be able to sleep at night. Anyway, over 40 years later, and by the way, that was the logo that when I was at Edina was all there. I was there for, 83, 84, 84, 85, 85, 86. So, this was the logo that was there. Go, team, go. Oh, I miss you, Stab Kanakis. Over 40 years later, It's still all over at Dinah schools, including their basketball court floors, their school band instruments, and most importantly, on merchandise that can be purchased by fans. When Otto contacted the school asking for the sales numbers, the Dinah Public Schools refused to give him that info, so he sent them a cease and desist letter. Ultimately, lawyers failed to renegotiate the contract, and the school is opting to redesign the logo. I got the design for my high school's logo. Why would I ever charge a dime, Otto, who now works as a community chaplain and professional Santa? Really? Wow, that's pretty cool. He told the Star Tribune last summer, I want the legacy of it standing at the test of time. I want it to be the logo forever. So, okay, so the gist of this story is this. The kid, he designs the logo. He works out some sort of contract with them where basically, you know, they can use it all the things for the school. But if they, it sounds like if they sell it, and use it to make manufacture merchandise, which is really kind of the way. Have you, Dan, have you been to a high school sporting event or anything like that nowadays? Especially in a wealthy
community? Not for years.
Oh, if you go into a wealthier community, people are dressed out like it's, they're a rap band in the 1980s. I mean, they're all matching everything, in their sweats and their sweatshirts. And yeah, they make money. They make money. I've got more than a few. That I have. I'm not going to buy any more, but, and I can only imagine the Edina gift shop. Oh, my gosh. It's like a freaking Lululemon store in that place, man. I can only imagine how pristine McNeil, it's not for your haberdashery for you people. No. It's a fine institution that has fine tailored clothing with that vampire, B logo on it. Ooh, it's fine. Oh, I hope you like green. I love green. Green is a lovely color. Okay, Edina guy. Okay, I get it. But are you going to be okay, Edina guy, if it's not there? Maybe. I got an idea. I'll tell you in a second. But you finish up your little diatribe, you neophyte. All right. Thank you very much, Edina guy. All right. But that was the racket story. They kind of succinct. You got the idea here. See if you can pick up the little bit of a subtle difference here on whose side the Star Tribune was on this one here, okay? Edina Public Schools' longtime green and yellow hornet logo is heading towards extinction, the district superintendent announced on Thursday. The reluctant decision by the district came after the owner of the copyright of the logo, an Edina High School alum, sued his week in federal court. The suit added a hefty financial compensation to his insistence the school administrators put the brakes on its use without his permissions, as required by the decades-old contract he has with the district. Superintendent Stacy Stanley, said in an announcement that the district tried in numerous ways to retain the logo, but failed to find a solution that was satisfactory to their longtime rights holder, Michael Otto. We tried so hard. Oh, my God. We tried so hard. So hard. And he didn't want to do it. He raised objections months ago when he sent a cease and desist order last spring objecting the image being used for profit by third-party apparel retailer without his sign-off, which is not exactly the most outrageous claim. And once again, going back to the racket story, he asked for the sales numbers, and it sounds like Edina Public Schools refused to even give him the sales numbers. And so, they weren't coming forward with the information. I'm kind of on the side of the artist at this point. Throughout the fall, we continued to attempt to negotiate with Mr. Otto effort to get the copyright, buy the copyright, or enter into a licensing agreement to retain the logo, Stanley said in a letter sent to district employees, students, families, and others in the Edina school community. Believe we made good faith offers and have not been able to reach an agreement. Despite our efforts earlier this week, Mr. Otto filed a lawsuit against the district for the use of the logo. We tried so hard. We tried so hard. And he filed a lawsuit. Yeah. Nice story, Star Trib. Now, don't worry. Your subscription rates in Edina are going to be fine. Oh. Tormented Edina school district loses logo. Weeping children unconsolable. And I graduated from this school, man. Okay. Stanley said that the district was left with no choice to just pause putting the Hornet on additional uniform signage and other district property. Well, it's called a copyright. I don't know if you know this or not. I can't just start putting Coca-Cola labels on things I want and saying, see, money. I can't do it that way. You know, it's like, hey, look, it's my Papa Smurf mug. I made it. Papa Smurf's mine now. Yeah. Mm. Although I guess I'll give them credit, it's not like the Minnetonka School District where they took the bell and the wheel from a military memorial and kept them in there. But hey, who hasn't desecrated a veteran's tribute in their lifetime? Huh? Oh, that's right. Most of us have never. That's right, and would never dream of doing that. We are sorry that the Hornet logo, as we know it, a symbol of our Edina school community, oh, for God's sakes, may change. Plans for a new Hornet image will be developed and announced in the future. For God's sakes, as flush as your school district is with cash, you can get Chihuly to go make you an Edina Hornet logo. It'd be glass. It'd be magnificent. It'd probably stellar. And you could sell that logo all over the place. Otto, who now lives in Grove City, Minnesota, said Thursday he did not want to react to the announcement until after speaking with his lawyers. The Hornet logo with its menacing scowl, I'm going with the vampire, the vampire image, has been a symbol of athletic success. Oh, come on. Star Tribune has been a symbol of athletic success while stitched under the uniforms of many of dozens of Edina teams who've won state championships in tennis, swimming, hockey, and other sports. You know, polo, water polo, all the uniforms. Sorry. But fear not, Hornet faithful. Edina teams will continue to be the Hornets with Hornet mascot. Are they Hornets? Or never mind. The district spokeswoman, Mary Whittle, W-O-I-T-T-L-E. It's about the look and the image, not the name itself. They actually have probably a style consultant on this one. Otto created the Hornet image and is a copyright after he won a district logo contest in 1981. Otto, who works as a community chaplain, professional Santa, said the disagreement wasn't about money, at least on his end. They finally kind of start talking about him on the tail end of this here. But there it is, Edina guy. You're about to lose the disformed Hornet logo that has been the logo of the team for, what now, 40 years?
It's a sad day. It's a sad day indeed here for Edina. We like to think to ourselves we're a cut above everybody else. But today, we are logoless. Logoless! Thanks to this man. And I know he came from our school district, but my God, he's like you. He turned up rotten, like, ooh, my God, get away from me. That's not a fresh bit of caviar. Get away. You know, I don't know what you do with him. But needless to say, I've got an idea for a new logo.
You do, Edina guy?
Yes, I do. It's going to be delightful. It's a bee holding a bag of money with a monocle. Oh, it's going to be delightful. It will let everyone know Edina's here. Jingle, jingle, jingle. Bag of money. Jingle, jingle, jingle. Whee! See? Money.
Okay, Edina guy, you want to know the truth is, I actually think that you probably have the inside road on that one, that would actually probably be the successful one. But what happens if they just pick some kind of other logo?
Other logo? How dare you, you anti-art freak? My God, I just give you the Sistine Chapel of ideas for the school logo for that Edina school, and you basically demean it and imply there's another one that can be used? How dare you? Ooh, I can smell your rancidness in the air. You sicken me, McNeil. You sicken me. I am done with you. I am going to go design my B logo with my money bag and its monocle and make tons of money while they sell all the merch. Money. I love my money.
Thanks, Edina guy. Good luck with all that, Edina. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. I definitely am not going to get invited back for the 35th anniversary at the reunion. I am not going to get that invite. Just got taken out of the pile. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. Oh, Edina guy. He was drooling over the thought of basically designing the next Edina logo to put on all the merch over there. He's just drooling all over it. Oh, good luck with that, Edina guy. I'm sure we'll check in with you. We'll check in with you. So once again, B with a monocle and a bag of money. Edina. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205, with probably a discerning look downward. Yeah, there you
Oh, look at those people down there.
Yes, there you are. You know, I was very reminded of, I think last year because of what happened with January 6th, I didn't really take time to remember 2 years ago. If you don't know, I'm a huge fan of the band Rush, the Canadian band, the trio. Neil Peart died 2 years ago today. And yet it's hard because that's a band I went and saw so many times in my life. It is my favorite band, and I love them dearly. So taking us out today, oh, yes, speaking of drums, Alex Lifeson, Geddy Lee, and Neil Peart. It's Rush. It's One Little Victory. Vapor Trails was this album. Vapor Trails, when they first came back after they took a hiatus. Have a weekend. Please get vaccinated, wear a mask, socially distance, and come back safe, all right? We are back here on a Monday. Till then, see ya.